विदुरस्थीर्थयात्रायां मैत्रेयात् आत्मनो गतिं ज्ञात्वा गाधाष्टिना पुरं थया वाप्ता विविश्यता।
Sri Suta Goswami said, while traveling on a pilgrimage, Vidura received knowledge of the destination of the self from the great sage Maitreya, and then returned to Hastinapur. He became as well versed in that subject as he desired. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Vidura, one of the prominent figures in the history of the Mahabharata, he was conceived by Vyasadev in the womb of the maidservant Ambika, mother of Maharaj Pandu. He is the incarnation of Yamaraj being cursed by Manduka Muni. He was to become a Shudra. The story is narrated as follows. Once upon a time, the state police caught some thieves who had concealed themselves in the hermitage of Manduka Muni. The police constables, as usual, arrested all the thieves and Manduka Muni along with them. The magistrate specifically punished the Muni to death by being pierced with a lance. When he was just to be pierced, the news reached the king, and he at once stopped the act on consideration of his being a great Muni. The king personally begged the Muni's pardon for the mistake of his men, and the saint at once went to Yamaraj, who prescribes the destiny of the living beings. Yamaraj was questioned by the Muni. He replied that the Muni in his childhood pierced an ant with a sharpened straw, and for that reason, he was put into difficulty. The Muni thought it was unwise on the part of Yamaraj that he was punished for his childish innocence, and thus the Muni cursed Yamaraj to become a Shudra, and this Shudra incarnation of Yamaraj was known as Vidura. The Shudra brother of Dhritarashtra and Maharaj Pandu. But this Shudra son of the Kuru dynasty was equally treated by Bhishma Dev along with his other nephews. And in due course, Vidura was married with a girl who was also born in the womb of a Shudrani by a Brahmin. Although Vidura did not inherit the property of his father, the brother of Bhishma Dev, still he was given sufficient state property by Dhritarashtra, the elder brother of Vidura. Vidura was very much attached to his elder brother, and all along he tried to guide him on the right path. During the fratricidal war of Kurukshetra, Vidura repeatedly implored his elder brother to do justice to the sons of Pandu. But Duryodhana did not like such interference by his uncle, and thus he practically insulted Vidura. This resulted in Vidura's leaving home for pilgrimage and taking instructions
from Maitreya.
Chapter 13 of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Suta Goswami narrates the beautiful pastime of Vidura's selfless compassion upon his brother Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra, under the influence of his most envious son, Duryodhana, committed severe offenses to Vidura, who was not only his own brother, but his dearmost well-wishing friend. This is the result of becoming too much attached to materialistic association. In fact, Krishna is the most well-wishing, loving friend of every living being, and he is seated within our heart, always anxious to guide us and direct us toward the supreme pleasurable destination of his loving service. But the Jivatma, due to too much attachment to materialistic association in the form of materialistic people of society, family, so-called friends, as well as the materialistic objects of the senses, we turn our back to Krishna. We disregard his good instructions. In fact, in many ways, we abandon him. We reject him. So the same situation is herein so wonderfully exemplified in this story. Dhritarashtra was blind, and Vidura was coming to give him proper vision. If anyone in the world loved Dhritarashtra, it was Vidura. Duryodhana, his so-called love for his father was simply based on exploitation. Like the love of materialistic family members in society today. It is not love at all. It is kama. It is simply material exploitation. Because of what we feel we can derive from another, we experience a certain sensation of affection. But that affection is not for the person. The affection is actually for our own sense gratification. And the person is supplying some pleasure to our senses, and therefore we have affection for them. This is the principle in which the entire material creation is rotating upon. But Krishna explains in Gita, Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam, that he is actually the real friend of all living beings. Why? Because Krishna selflessly extends himself to give real benefit to others. And those who are truly Krishna's devotees, who have surrendered to the will of Krishna, they are the only true friends for all living beings. because such great souls are willing to make great sacrifices without consideration of their own welfare or sense gratification, simply to help the conditioned souls, simply to help you. Krishna is Dina Bandhu. He is the friend of the most fallen. And his devotees recognize that he is truly the friend of the most fallen. His devotees never consider themselves to be the friends of the most fallen, because Krishna is the only friend. He is the only one who can truly rescue you at the greatest time of need, the time of death. Therefore, the devotees, their ambition in life is simply to assist Dinabandhu, Dinanath. He comes to assist Krishna in giving mercy, in giving Krishna's love, Krishna's mercy. And one who does that is as much our friend as Krishna himself. Because unless we are in the completely purified state of consciousness, we cannot directly approach Krishna. We can only approach Krishna through his devotees, the spiritual master and the assembled Vaishnavas. Krishna gives us his mercy through them, and he receives our offerings through them. And because such devotees are willing to perform such a service to the Lord, there is no one more dear to the Lord than those who are preaching his glories in this world. And Vidura was such a personality. Vidura was the very emblem of a great preacher. And within our Gaudiya Sampradaya, all devotees take great inspiration and direction from the example of Vidura. Srila Prabhupada is explaining in this beautiful purport some of the life history of this great Mahabhagavat. Vidura is actually one of the 12 Mahajans. He is Yamaraj. In the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Yamaraj himself is the one who officially declares who are the 12 Mahajans. And by the arrangement of the Lord, he was obliged to include himself within that list. Yamaraj, his surrender is so utterly selfless, as was his incarnation of Vidura. Yamaraj is the superintendent of death. Although he is a pure unalloyed devotee, with great compassion in his heart, with unalloyed love for Krishna, who wants to do good for all, who hates to see the suffering of others. This is the quality of a Vaishnava, para dukkha dukkhi. They do not mind suffering upon themselves, but it is intolerable for them to see others suffering. So someone with such a sweet, loving disposition is ordered by Krishna to perform the service of inflicting suffering on almost everyone within this material universe who is engaged in sinful activities. You know, we talk about Vaishnavas, how a Vaishnava is like a honeybee and a materialistic person is like a fly. The honeybee is always looking, searching for nectar. Even if a honeybee is in an atmosphere of all garbage and sewage, If there is one flower, he will completely disregard with no concern for any of the filth, and he'll go right to the flower, and all his attention will be finding that drop of nectar within that one single flower. This is the way of a devotee. Even if there are so many faults, even if there was so much filth and garbage, a devotee is always anxious to find whatever good he can in everyone. And if he could find even a small particle of devotion in anyone's heart, he will magnify it and speak of it with great appreciation. This is definition of Vaishnava. And what is material consciousness? Like the fly. The fly could be in a beautiful field of the most fragrant roses. Thousands and thousands and thousands of roses and lotus flowers. And if there is one little trace of stools laying on the ground, the fly will disregard all the flowers, all the nectar, and he will go right to the stool to drink the poison. Similarly, devotees have so many wonderful, wonderful qualities. But maybe they have some fault. The materialistic mind simply wants to see that fault, wants to concentrate and pursue criticizing that quality. And that is considered enjoyable to the envious mind. So Yamaraj is a Mahajan. Therefore, obviously, he loves to see the good in others. But out of a thankless task for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he spends all of his life for practically the entire span of the universe simply calculating the sins of others. He and his associates, Chitragupta, who is his secretary, and the Yamadutas, who are his executioners, they calculate continuously every immoral act performed by every human being. And nothing goes unnoticed. Yamaraj is actually everyone's well-wisher. Yamaraj's prayer is that everyone takes to Krishna consciousness and goes back home, back to Godhead. But this is part of the process of bringing people to the lotus feet of Krishna. By giving them a good experience of how miserable material life is independent of Krishna and his service. But please, do not think that any of you have the right to follow in the footsteps of Yamaraj in this regard, to make life so miserable for devotees that they want to go back to Godhead very soon. Because if you do like this, you will be incriminating yourselves with the greatest sins. When you find a fault in other, that fault goes into your heart and contaminates you. When you criticize another devotee, you are condemned in the eyes of God. And there's nothing more to be said. Unless we have a very, very compassionate, selfless purpose to help, we should never speak bad about any devotee. In fact, we should never speak bad about any living being. unless we are speaking in a compassionate mood to help. So Yamaraj is deputed for this purpose, and we cannot imitate such activities. We have heard, we have seen devotees criticizing others, making life miserable for others, and they say, well, I'm doing the selfless service of Yamaraj. But you are not Yamaraj. If you want to do this type of selfless service, then your reward will be you'll get to meet the Yamadutas. And they will give you the reactions. So Yamaraj, in this very, very difficult state of affairs, in his thankless task of serving the Lord, he always is looking for the opportunity to preach the glories of the Lord. So Lord Sri Krishna wanted to arrange the fulfillment of his desire. And how this took place is explained by Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes what appears to be a great disaster is actually, in truth, the divine arrangement of the Lord for everyone's benefit. We find Manduka Muni, who is a very saintly person, who is living in his hermitage, and some thieves, they want to exploit Manduka Muni's good reputation. So many times, materialistic people, they want to use and exploit saintly people rather than serve them and receive the real gift of devotion that they have to give. So these thieves, they were running from the police, and they were thinking that the police will never suspect Manduka Muni, so we will hide in his hermitage and they will never come there to look for us. But the police, they searched the hermitage and they found the thieves, and they felt that Manduka Muni, he was hiding these thieves. Therefore, if you are a conspirator in helping a thief, then you are also a thief. So they went to the magistrate, and they were all sentenced to death by being pierced with a lance. And Manduka Muni was standing there. The moment of death was upon him. The executioner was standing with the lance, was about to stab, pierce him to death. Just at the very moment before his death, the king sent his messenger that we have discovered he is actually a great Muni. You should release him. And they begged his pardon. But Manduka Muni, he was considering, what is this? What have I done? I have performed so many good acts in my life. Why did I deserve so much mental suffering of being on the verge of being stabbed to death? So he actually had the power to approach Yamaraj himself. Yamaraj is the person who gives everyone their karmic reactions. Such a responsibility. So Yamaraj explained, this is your reaction, this is your karma. What have I done? When you were a child, you do not remember, but I remember. When you were a child, you took a sharp straw and you pierced an ant, and you caused him that suffering. Therefore, you had to suffer the mental pain of being pierced to death as well. Manduka Muni was very much disturbed. He said to Yamaraj that I was just a little child. I was just playing. I did not mean any harm to anyone. How could you give such a severe reaction to something that was performed in such innocence? Therefore, I hereby curse you to take birth on the earth planet as a Shudra, low class. Of course, Yamaraj, he understood that whatever happens is ultimately for the good of his devotee, Krishna's devotee. Not a blade of grass could move without his sanction. Just as Maharaj Parikshit, he was cursed to die in 7 days, but he took it as a great benediction. He didn't even make the slightest endeavor to counter that curse or protect himself, because he knew within his heart that this is a benediction of Krishna. There is no doubt. When devotees hear and chant the glories of the Lord and the association of good devotees, they develop this faith, faith in truth, that even the most difficult circumstances are welcomed with a grateful heart, because we know we may not see what is the true value, but in due course of time it will be revealed that this is the ultimate best thing for my spiritual progress. And it is providing the opportunity for me to do the best service I possibly can offer to the Lord. And we find this throughout the Shastra, how devotees appear to be put in very, very difficult, painful, struggling conditions. Why? Why throughout Bhagavat? Why throughout Mahabharat? We find continuously devotees being put in miserable circumstances. Practically the whole Bhagavatam is the story of this principle. We have Parikshit Maharaj, perfectly sinless. Dharmaraj, unfairly, unduly cursed by an inexperienced child to die in 7 days. And how he accepted it as the mercy of the Lord and exemplified the principle of the highest renunciation in utterly taking shelter of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord from his spiritual master, Shukadev Goswami. We also have the story of Vidura. We have the story of Draupadi. How her children were killed by Ashwatthama in the most cruel and unfair means. Why? And we have the story of the Pandavas, how they were exploited, and they were cheated of their throne, all of their reputation and fame, and forced to live like beggars in the jungle. And we have the story of Dhruva Maharaj, who was abused with the wicked words of his stepmother and was forced to go to the forest with no one to protect him, although he was only a child of 5 years old. How much pain! His lips were trembling in anger and humiliation. And then there's the story of the sage Narada in his previous life, how he was just a small little child living in the forest, and his mother was a widow, and he had no brothers and sisters. And his mother was bit by a serpent and died. And how he welcomed it as Krishna's mercy and ultimately became Narada Muni. And there is the story of Prahlad. So many terrible injustices by his father, Hiranyakashipu. So many dangers he was subjected to. And Ambarish, who was just a very noble, pious, pure-hearted devotee of a king, who simply wanted to greet and serve his guest, Durvas, but was totally, totally misunderstood, mistreated. Durvas wanted to murder him. But he welcomed it as Krishna's mercy. Throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, this theme is continuous. So Yamaraj accepted the curse of Manduka Muni as the blessing of Krishna. And actually, we should know that Manduka Muni was simply a puppet in the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to facilitate increasing the service of Yamaraj. And we should know, in Krishna consciousness, if anyone mistreats you, they are just puppets in the hands of Krishna to help us to increase our devotional service and deepen our own realizations. And therefore, we should be grateful with folded palms. Tateno kampam sushamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipagam. To receive danger, suffering, abuse with a grateful heart, knowing that it is ultimately Krishna and bowing down to him, that is the qualification for liberation. Liberation in pure devotional service. So how did he take birth? Very mysterious story. Vyasadev was called by Satyavati and Bhishma Dev to beget children. In the wombs of the princesses, so that someone with the proper lineage would be able to assume the throne of the Kuru dynasty. Vedavyas, although a Shaktyavesh avatar of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, one of his opulences as Bhagavan, is the sweetness of his infinite beauty and charm. Another opulence is his knowledge. Vedavyas manifested the opulence of knowledge, but to the ordinary eyes, he did not so much embody the opulence of beauty. In fact, he looked, for the devotees, they just saw him as so beautiful because they saw Krishna in him. But for ordinary people, they saw something not very nice at all from the point of view of sense gratification. So when he went in the room to perform his service, the first lady, she did her duty, but she closed her eyes because she couldn't look at him. So Vedavyas, he is Trikala Gya. He knows past, present, and future. Bhishma and Satyavati, they asked, so, tell us the future of this child that will be born. He started explaining all the virtues of this child, but he said, but because she closed her eyes during the time of conception, because you know, according to the Shastra, according to the consciousness of the man and woman at the very moment of conception, that consciousness will invite a particular type of soul within the womb. So because in her consciousness she was closing her eyes and didn't want to see, the child will be blind. That child was Dhritarashtra. Blind, he cannot properly be king. So he sent again. And the next, she became very much cold and sickly. So he explained, the child will be very pale and sickly. That was Pandu. The next time, secretly, the princess sent her maidservant in, so she wouldn't have to perform this austerity. So when Vedavyasa came out, Satyavati and Bhishma were asking, so please tell us, what is the future of this child? And he began to just narrate every virtue, every glorious quality. He will be learned, he will be self-controlled, he will be compassionate, he will be a pure, unalloyed devotee of the Lord. He started explaining all the virtues of the future of the life of this child. And they were so happy, finally, the Kuru dynasty will have a suitable king. But then he said, but there was one problem. It wasn't the princess, it was a Sudrani. So therefore he will also be a Shudra. This was Vidura. He was born as the brother of Pandu and Dhritarashtra. And he was such a dear friend of both Bhishma Dev as well as Krishna. And through Vidura's life, he was always preaching to Dhritarashtra, always trying to give him good guidance for his own welfare. But Dhritarashtra, although he knew Vidura's good intentions, he was forced by his material attraction to engage in the most abominable activities due to Duryodhana. When there was this plot to burn them in the house of Varanataka, Vidura was pleading, do not do this. But Duryodhana insisted it be done. This cheating match with Shakuni of gambling, Vidura was pleading, do not do this to your nephews. They love you. They are great devotees. But he accepted the advice of Duryodhana and banished them to the forest. Vidura was always there making wonderful arrangements to protect and serve the Pandavas. On one side, we are all something like in the position of Dhritarashtra. On one side, we have the devotees who are like Vidura. They are telling us, rise early in the morning, chant 16 rounds, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Follow the four regulative principles. Do not listen to crazy material music. Do not watch the television. Do not go to the cinemas. Do not go to all these crazy, terrible social events with all materialistic people. Do not talk nonsense. Do not criticize others. The devotees are telling us like this because they are our friends. They are all Vidura's representatives, Krishna's representatives. But at the same time, Duryodhana is there. Duryodhana of our mind and all the agents of our mind outside of us. They are telling us, do not get up today. Sleep. Enjoy. chanting Hare Krishna. What is all this fanaticism you have to chant every morning? Why you have to be so different from everyone else? And even when you're chanting, the devotees are telling you, listen to the name. But Duryodhana of your mind is saying, no, no, your lips are moving, you're sitting nicely, everyone thinks you're chanting, but meditate on this sense enjoyment. No one will know. This is Duryodhana speaking, trying to take us away from morality, from Krishna. The television is here. Turn it on. See, maybe the news is on. Maybe you will get some nice information you could use in your preaching. Oh, it's not the news, it's a station. Well, let me see what the karmis watch so I can have more sympathy for where their consciousness is at so I can preach to them better. Oh, actually, it's quite enjoyable. If it's enjoyable, don't be a fanatic. Enjoy, enjoy. Otherwise, you will simply burn out if you restrain yourself too much. Then the next program, you didn't fall down. You're still a devotee. You still have your Kanti Mala on. You watched one show, so watch another. In this way, we have always two voices. And like Dhritarashtra, we are basically blind. Without the vision of the Vaishnava's guidance, we have no hope. But our mind, our senses, and the atmosphere around us want us to engage in immoral, cruel, critical activities. And what is the result? The result is we are ruined, as Dhritarashtra was ruined. Vidura was such a saintly person, so selfless, so compassionate. He was even doing everything he could to help Duryodhana, the person who was his worst enemy. And Krishna was so pleased with Vidura that when Krishna came to Hastinapur, Duryodhana wanted to exploit Krishna by recruiting Krishna through materialistic means to take his side. Materialistic people, even when they come to religion, they want to bribe God. They want to perform sacrifice, yajna, tapasya, with the idea of getting the attention of God and then using his powers for our selfish purposes. Duryodhana was thinking that if I give Krishna nice food, nice golden gifts, nice garlands, nice reception, then he will be favorable to me and he will help me to exploit the Pandavas and maintain my sense gratification. And it is in this mentality that people worship the demigods. They do not worship the demigods out of devotion. Rather, they worship the demigods because they want to exploit them and utilize their facilities for themselves. So, in this way, Duryodhana, he could not trick Krishna. That is the difference between Krishna and the demigods. Krishna is abhigya and swarat. He is all-knowing and he is independent. He is Hari. He will do what is best for his devotee. The demigods will simply, like the Prabhupada calls it, vanik, business. You pay your dues and they give you what you want. Vritrasura was paying his dues of so much flesh, chanting the names of Shiva, willing to give his head, Shiva came and said, yes, what do you want? Whose ever head I touch, it will crack. Yes, you have. But Vritrasura, as most demigod worshippers, he wanted to utilize it for his own selfish purposes, and therefore he attacked Shiva himself. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, they all worshiped the demigods and got received their boons. But Krishna is different, because Krishna is not under the control of anyone. He is not obliged to anything except pure devotion. Treat Krishna like a demigod, Krishna simply ignored him. Although all the arrangements for the wonderful offerings to Krishna were prepared, Krishna did not go. He went to the house of Vidura. And Vidura's wife, she was unprepared for Krishna's arrival. There was no announcement. All she had in her house was bananas. And she was so nervous that Krishna has come, the Supreme Bhagavan. And she started peeling the bananas and throwing away the banana and giving Krishna the peel. And Krishna ate the peel and was very happy, tasting the delicious taste of bhakti or devotion. Yes, the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, the husband of the goddess of fortune, rejected the fine foods and elephant gifts of Duryodhana to eat the banana peels of Vidura. And in this way, Krishna wanted to show to the world the glories and the nature of this devotee Vidura and the process of bhakti. Later on, when it was coming close to the battle of Kurukshetra, and it seemed that this terrible war was imminent, Vidura was pleading with Dhritarashtra, give up attachment to this son of yours. He will be the cause of your ruination. He is offense personified. When Duryodhana heard those words, he became so angry, along with his soldiers. He ordered that Vidura be beaten until he had nothing left but his breath, unless he left the kingdom immediately. Vidura, being mistreated, falsely accused, but with a grateful heart, he left his family, he left his home, he left everything to live in the forest. And during that time, he went to holy places throughout India, and ultimately in the holy land of Haridwar, on the bank of the Ganges, he approached Maitreya Muni. Maitreya Muni, as a representative of the disciplic succession, had received instructions from Krishna. So Vidura, although he was such a great soul, he accepted Maitreya as his guru, Shiksha Guru, and so humbly inquired into the nature of Krishna consciousness. The greatest saintly persons, they do not have such a false pride that they cannot humble themselves before superiors and inquire submissively. Sometimes devotees, they want to create an image that there is no one equal to or better than me. And if I inquire from someone else, that will belittle my position of being a great knower of the truth. But we find Srila Prabhupada, a Nitya Siddha, a Mahabhagavat, how he sat with such humility before his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and how even half a century later, he was telling all of his disciples and telling all the world how my Guru Maharaj defeated me. This is the nature of the great souls. Even Krishna himself would sometimes inquire from his own devotees with great humility. So Vidura, it was his humble nature to want to submissively hear the glories of the Lord from a senior Vaishnava. Meanwhile, the battle of Kurukshetra took place. As Vidura predicted, Duryodhana, Haribo, was killed. All the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra were mercifully killed by Bhima. Dhritarashtra lost everything. At that time, Vidura went to the kingdom of Dhritarashtra, who was living like a pet dog in the house of Yudhisthira. How forgiving, how tolerant, how compassionate. The very person who abused him and allowed him to be kicked away from his own property, he was willing to give his life to help that person come back to Krishna consciousness. You see, in this material world, sometimes when everything is going very nicely, we have wealth, we have power, we have knowledge, we have strength, it is difficult to hear the message of the sadhus. But when everything is taken away, when our hearts are broken and our minds are reeling in anxiety, at that time, sometimes our heart is fertile to receive the seed of transcendental knowledge. Just like the Brahman of Avanta Desh, Dhritarashtra was miserable. He was defeated. He was lost. At that time, his real friend, Vidura, was there to help him. We should all be such friends to one another. Whether our God brothers or God sisters are up or down, we should always be there to help them to come to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Vidura pointed out to Dhritarashtra, as we're going to read in this chapter, you should not be so attached to this dying old body. Look what it has done to you. Come with me and take to the path of self-realization. So in this way, Vidura and Dhritarashtra went to the forest along with Gandhari, and Vidura taught Dhritarashtra the process of purification, and Dhritarashtra was liberated, and then Vidura left this world. And it is described when he left this world, he went back to the abode of Yamaraj, and all the residents had a great festival to welcome him back. He resumed his post as Yamaraj, and
in this way, Krishna provided this wonderful lila for our purification. Thank you very much. During this chapter, so many wonderful, wonderful lessons are to be learned by the example of Yudhisthira, by the preaching of Vidura. So please come each morning for Srimad Bhagavatam class and receive the immense benefits of hearing this wonderful narration. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.